Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed are they who will hear my word, for I will cause them to walk in my ways. They will ride in the high places with me. And shall be free from all enemies.
Hallelujah. Pastor, I need you to just come here, please. Deborah, would you join us on the platform? Coming out of our Native American background and our Jewish background, you never come to someone's house without gifts. To the place, whether it's the palace, the tent, or the house of worship, without bearing gifts. Today we bear gifts to you, and we sow into you, Barbara and I, a shofar. And Deborah, it happened to be the same one that you blew that got the sound. Barbara looked at me and I looked at her. I said, so her father was a trumpeter. And when she blew the shofar yesterday, I said, something's up. So we present this to you in love and faith. Do with it what you will. It's yours. We desire to honor you.
It is completely kosher in Hebrew culture for women to blow a shofar. So, I believe you both will. I believe you both will develop a real love for the shofar. Study it. Get all those scriptures out. You're going to love it.
God bless you. Receive in Jesus' name.
Oh, thank you so much.
Blessings.
Bless you. Bless you. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Bless you. God bless you.
Bless you.
God bless you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Hallelujah. God bless you, my brother. Hallelujah.
Glory.
It's been a real thrill being with you these few days, and I always tell people, dropping off, picking up. We pick up anointings when we go to other places, and so the anointing of the house, we take it with us, but we bring anointing to you, and we make a deposit here. So we know that's how ministry works. We've learned that over the years. But this is my wife, Barbara. She has just a scripture she wants to read. We've been together soon to be 47 years. She is co-pastor with me at Tribe of Judah Word Ministries. She's my right arm. She's the one down through the years, Pastor Gordon, was telling me, you can do this, when others were saying, this guy, he just can't cut it. And she was my eye canner in Jesus. So, Barbara, would you greet the people, please? Going to get you a mic, honey.
There is no one like him or anything like him. I love that song. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I just want to share with you very briefly. I know you saw two Bibles, you thought, oh my gosh, they're both going to preach. That's not so. Well, I got to find it here. In early 2013, I had a catheterization done. And I knew I had to have a second open heart surgery. I had one in 1980 when I was only 32 years old.
it was quite different for me at age 65. When I found out I had to have the surgery, I was only 64, and I called my sister-in-law up, and I said, I'm 64 years old. I said, this ain't right. And she said, so? And in God's sense of humor, my birthday's in February. I found out in January I had to have the surgery, and I didn't have it till March. Now I'm 65. See, age doesn't mean a thing to God. But anyhow, I want to give this scripture to you. It is the one he gave me within weeks of going. I had a perfect peace about it. I was not looking forward to it because having done it once, I knew what was coming. But I had a perfect peace about it. And the Lord gave me this scripture, and I want to give it to you, the congregation. I want you to hang on to it because it is awesome and it is personal. It's found in Isaiah chapter 48. Now, I'm reading from the New Living, so it'll read differently if you have a King James. But we were sitting in Sunday morning service, and I said, Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I know you're going to get me through this. And I opened my Bible right to it. I already had it highlighted, so it had spoken to me once before, but it became Rhema that day. And it says this in verse 10. I have refined you, but not as silver is refined. How is silver refined? Doggone it, in the fire. You got to turn the heat up to get silver refined. Rather, I have refined you in the furnace of suffering. Any of you out there suffered? Sure you have. Jesus has refined you, not as silver, but in a furnace of suffering. Verse 11, I will rescue you for my sake. Yes, for my own sake. I like that. God said for his sake, he's going to rescue me. I said, thank you, Lord. I will not let my reputation be tarnished. Woo! So all those naysayers out there who said I couldn't make it, God says, I will not let my reputation be tarnished, and I will not share my glory with idols, but he sure will share it with his people.
Thank you, Lord.
And I said, thank you, Lord. Take that scripture to heart, and the next time you find yourself in a furnace of anything, you remind yourself that God says, I will rescue you for his sake. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, honey. Get you down. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
To God be the glory. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I have just a couple of nuggets before we get into the end time prophecies of the return of Messiah. I want to share with you this morning how the stage is being set for Jesus' return. I want to share with you things that I hope will challenge you, encourage you to get, if you're not close to him, get close. Ready or not, he's coming. And I have a whole list of things that are prophetically that needed to come to pass and have come to pass as we are on the verge of the return of our Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So the blood moons that we've been experiencing, that's one thing, okay? Now, we've already experienced two of the blood moons. One was Pentecost, one was Passover. A third will happen in Tabernacles. Only seven times in history has this ever happened. Seven times. The happening that's happening this year and next year will be number eight. Seven is completion. Number eight is new beginnings. Okay, are you getting what I'm saying? Also, Jesus died at a set of these blood moons on Passover, okay? So what we're saying is there's these tremendous events in planet Earth that line up with the blood moons. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about the blood moons, not going into a lot of it today. Just wanted to touch on it as one of those end time things. Now, let me ask you a question. What are the odds of it falling on Jewish feast, yes, Jewish feast, better known as the Lord's feast, In Leviticus, it doesn't call them Jewish feasts for those people who have a little issue with the Jewish thing. By the way, let me give you a heads up on the Jewish thing. Jesus was Jewish. The prophets were Jews. Heaven's a Jewish place. The doors are coated with the 12 tribes of Israel. The original Ark of the Covenant is there, the mercy seat of God. All this Hebraic stuff's there, so you might as well get used to it. It's here to stay. There are those that are coming on the scene, stirring up the church concerning our Hebraic foundations. Blessed be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus met a man over in Israel who was a Muslim that hated the Jews, and he came to Christ, and Christ appeared to him and told him this: "You cannot love me and hate my people, the Jew." I didn't write the book. Genesis 12 and 3 says this: "I will bless them that bless thee, but I will curse them that curse thee." You find a Jew, you better hug him. I'll stand, y'all, we'll stand over here today and y'all can give me hugs. But anyhow, think about what it takes in the eons of time for the Lord to set this up with these blood moons, that there have been seven, just like we're experiencing this year and next year in all of history. Do you know that Christopher Columbus was Jewish? Do you know the instruments that were made on the ships that found their way to the shores of America? Many of the Puritans were Christians that were Jews. Do you know the Puritans wanted to set up a new Israel in the land that called America? Wow. The Jews were put out of Spain, they've been put out of everywhere. And that's where I want to go this morning. We're going to look at some of those things that's happened to the Jews and how they've been dispersed and how the Lord said, "Though I have scattered you to the nations, I have a set time." If you're a note taker, you need to take this Hebrew word down. It's M-O-E-D. It means appointed time. The feast of the Lord, Leviticus 23, are appointed times. These blood moons, I got goosebumps going clean down to my ankles, my knees. I got chills just all over me right now. I call them Holy Ghost bumps. But for what the Lord is, He's stirring us up over things that have been lost. Now, there's a word in the church, the New Testament church, that people seem to cringe at. Let me help you with it. It's called law. You know what law means? It means instruction. It's the word, okay? And we instructed the folks on Friday that there were things of the law that changed. That's why the new covenant was written. We're not going back to the old priesthood. We're not going back to the old slaughtering of the sheep. We're not going back to that. But there's aspects of the law that belong to us. Listen to me. It is the Word of God. Too many times I hear it coming out of Christians like it's some horrible thing. Listen, Jesus fulfilled it. He brought it to its fullness so that we could appreciate those things that belong to us. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. I got to give you another nugget. How many of you, and by the way, I got the watch going, so I'm going to get you out here in time, okay? I think. Anything could happen. Do you remember over there in Matthew 26, 34, that Peter was told by Jesus, he said, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." Or before the cock crows three times, you will deny me three times. One place it says one thing, one place it says another. Well, we happen to be in a series of Jewish studies, and this lady, she got up and taught us, and this is what she said: "You can believe in the chicken if you want to." Now, I got good news for you. A lot of chicken has gone in the ministry over the years. And a belt on a preacher's that's a gate around the fence around a chicken graveyard. But there was actually, when she was in the land of Israel, she got to talking to some rabbis, and she had a word. The Lord gave her a word in the spirit, and it was gever. And so she went to one of the major rabbis in Israel, and she said, "I have a word, and I don't know it. I can't find the meaning anywhere. It's gever, G-A-V-A-I-R, gever." And he says, "Well, let me explain to you what the gever was." I'm looking for a Kleenex, brother. One right under there. Let me come down and get that. Oh, look at this.
We got God coming at you everywhere.
If you need them, I'll bring them down later. But he asked her, he said, now why would you even know anything? Why would you even ask a question about a gever? He said, I'm going to reveal to you what a gever was. Every morning at the temple gates, there was what was called the gatekeeper. Now this is revelation that's been hidden from us, the church. Just another one of those things. And he was called the temple crier. And so at sunup, every morning, he would go open the gates and he became the crier to the people. And this is what he would cry. There was three things he would cry out. Now you can hang on to the chicken if you want to. But I believe somewhere in Scripture, it was talking about the gever, the guy at the temple, opening the temple door and yelling three things. This is what he yelled. Priests, prepare your sacrifice. Levites, go to your stations. Israelites, come and worship your God. Jewish stuff has been around forever. I got good news for you. It's going to be around forever. Hallelujah. When we get into millennial kingdom, Revelation is very clear on it. As a matter of fact, Zechariah tells us that, you know, there's a day coming that all nations will flow up to Jerusalem. That's when Christ returns, sets up his kingdom on earth. Most of us spirit-filled Bible teachers believe that. And there's 1,000-year reign. Well, guess where we're going to be? Jerusalem will be the world capital. Israel will be the greatest nation of nations in that day for 1,000 years. So I believe, Pastor, one of the things the Lord is doing, he's getting us ready for what's coming. He's getting the church ready for what's coming. So he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church in this hour. Amen. I want to go to a very familiar passage. Go with me to Ezekiel chapter 37. But before we get there, we need to back up in Ezekiel just a little bit so that we can give you some preparation for what the Lord's about to say to Ezekiel. Now, I have preached on the dry bones many times, but until I got the revelation that it was Israel, I had to change my message. Because a lot of this stuff that's about these dry bones, it speaks a lot to the church, you know. They need to come alive again. They need to get resurrected. So that's all I knew until I began to understand the prophecies of the end times concerning the nation of Israel. Because all the prophecies that are being fulfilled are all about Israel concerning the return of Messiah. So if you got your Bibles there, let's back up just for a few verses to chapter 36, and I want to touch on, because there's many places in Scripture, Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, I've got them all written down here. We're not going to go there this morning for time's sake, but there's many places in Scripture that says, though I have scattered you to the nations in a set time, down toward the end of days, I will call to the children of Israel, come home to me, my children, and I will call you out of the nations where I have scattered you. Look what it says over in 36. Let me pick it up at verse 24 for time's sake. And it says, and I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of the countries, and I will bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from your idols I will cleanse you. And a new heart also will I put in you, and a new spirit I will put in within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you the heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments, and you will do them, says the Lord. Woo! Who's he talking to? He's talking to the Jewish people. He says, I'm going to call you back to the land. Though I've scattered you, you need to know I know where you are. You know, some of the Native Americans, I don't know if you've ever gotten this teaching before, but in some of the caves out west, on the wall, there's Hebraic writings. And people are saying, how in the world did they get up there? Well, we now know that the Cherokee are some of the lost tribes of Israel. And I love that word. Don't you love the word lost tribe? The Lord knows where they are. They're not lost. The Lord knows exactly where they are. And when the Lord gathers them together, and he will, according to the book of Revelations, he will call for the 12 tribes to come together. That's talking about the 144,000, 12,000 from the 12 tribes. When the Lord says, come forth, they're coming forth. Amen. But it has already, what I'm trying to get across this morning is, it has already begun. The end gathering has already started. It ain't just going to happen. It has already begun. When did it begin? It began in 1948 when Israel became a nation, this little nation that had not been a nation for over 2,000 years. The Lord said, a set time is coming, and I will restore things back to the land of Israel that belong to them. And no man will stop it. No kingdom will stop it. No devil in hell will stop it. It is the Lord's sovereign move, and he's going to have his way. Hallelujah. 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 37, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he carried me out. This is Ezekiel in the spirit, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. These were people that had died. Nothing there but their bones. Let me give you a little nugget on the bones. If you go to chapter 38 and 39, there are going to be nations at some point that are going to march on Israel. The scripture says the armies of the north, China and Russia, at some point, are going to say, Israel, you belong to me, we will take you. And God will... I'm telling you, he's going to rain fire from heaven. He's going to kill them all. You go read Ezekiel 38 after chapter 37. Today you go read it. It says he's going to kill so many of them, it's going to take 7 months to bury the pieces. Boy, I didn't get a whole lot of amens on that one. Because the Lord's not playing games. I'm telling you, if you happen to be playing games with the Lord, that needs to stop. The return of Messiah is at hand. Let me continue on. And he says, and I was in the midst of the valley and was full of bones. And he caused me to pass round about them, and behold, there were many. And there were many open in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again, he said unto me, then prophesy, speak to them upon these bones. Bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, these bones, behold, I will cause breath, ruach, to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinew upon you, and bring you up in the flesh upon you, and I will cover you with skin, and I will breathe in you in the breath, ruach, in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. There's always a lot of noise around the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. I'm glad there's a lot of noise in this house. There's a lot of worship. There's a lot of shouting. There's a lot of amen. There's a lot of praise. There's a lot of woo-woos in this house. So I prophesied, and it commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. Oh yeah, we like to make a joyful one, don't we? Huh? And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, sinew on the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, and there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the wind, prophesy to the ruach, the breath, prophesy, son of man, say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, breathe upon these slain, that they shall live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. And he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dry. In other words, people have given up on them. Until 1948, for 2,000 years, they didn't exist. But the Lord says, it's my season, it's my time, it's my Moed period. I'm going to bring her back to the land, and I'm going to begin to set things up that I have prophesied by the prophets for thousands of years. We are in a set time. We are in the end of days, beloved. Yes. Woo! Enough to make a Hebrew Costal shout. Then he said unto me, verse 11, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dry and our hope is gone. And for thousands of years it looked like it was so. And we've been cut off from our parts. Therefore, prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold my people, I will open your graves and I will cause you to come up out of your graves, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And I have opened your graves, O my people, and I will brought you up out of the graves, and I shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land, and there shall know that I am the Lord, for I have spoken it, performed it, saith the Lord. Woo! Over there's this little piece of territory. It's no bigger than New Jersey. I've been there. I've been from border to border, north to south. It's very small. It's the only democratic nation surrounded by all these nations that hate her. And when they found out that she was coming back to her nationhood, they decided they were going to attack her and take her out right off the bat. Well, if you go study history, all the surrounding Iraq, Iran, Syria, Jordan, all of those nations, Saudi Arabia, they got their planes together, they got their tanks together. They said, oh no, we're not going to let this happen. And you go over there today and talk to some of the old colonels and some of the old generals, and they'll begin to tell you stories about the supernatural power of God, how those that attacked Israel, how their planes were shot down with guns that shouldn't have worked, how they, when they attacked them, when they come down through the valleys in the tanks, they saw angels, and they got out of their tanks and they ran. This happened in our generation. Woo! Woo! But I believe Israel has always paid a price. I believe that the Holocaust, the some 12 million Jews that were slaughtered in the gas chambers and the furnaces by that maniac Adolf Hitler, that they were given as a sacrifice so that the nation could come to be. You see, the United Nations had no love for her either. Don't have any love for the Jews. As a matter of fact, most of them today are still opposing her. But because the Jewish people had suffered so much, when they wanted to have their nation back, they wanted their state of Israel back again, the United Nations finally said, yes. And when they did, all hell broke loose. But the Lord said, I have established them. I have set them in this land. No enemy's going to touch them. No enemy's going to hurt them. Not on my watch. And the supernatural power of God began to go at work. Hallelujah. 1967 is what we call the Seven-Day War. It was the Yom Kippur War. And the fight was over the city of Jerusalem. And so the Israelis fought their way through. I've got a magazine of the original time when they did this in history back in 67. I got 1967 and I got pictures. And the special forces of the soldiers of the Israelis fought their way through, of all gates, brother, the Lion Gate. It says Lion Gate. And they fought their way, hand-to-hand combat, shooting, killing, I mean. But they said, we're taking our city back. Sometimes blood will have to be spilled. I have purposed in my life. I'm 67 years old, and I said, Lord, you know what? If you desire to use me as a martyr, so be it. If it would take my shedding of my blood to bring someone into the kingdom, your will be done. Now that's radical stuff, but that's where I am. I'm ready to live or die for the cause of Christ. That's a little bold for some of you, maybe. But they fought their way to the Lion's Gate, to the old temple wall. And for the first time in over 2,000 years, if I can find it, a ram's horn was heard. Had not sounded for over 2,000 years. A rabbi with the soldiers, and I've got pictures of them. They're standing. These are hardcore special forces. These guys know how to fight and how to kill. They're standing with their hands on the wall and they're crying. We've got our city back. We've got our city back after 2,000 years. And they got a picture of a rabbi with a ram's horn. There hadn't been one there for 2,000 years, and he's there blowing his ram's horn. Victory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Here goes my sound equipment. Brother, this thing's been taking a beating. I hope you can restore it when I get done with it. Okay. Am I good now? Oh, that sounds better. I like it. That's what happens when you get carried away. Get a little radical. A lot radical. You know, it's good to laugh at yourself sometime, huh? Hallelujah. So Ezekiel prophesied that these bones would live again, that this people would live again. They are living. And today they're still coming in from all the nations of the world. There's some church ministries that have been set up. John Heggie's one of them. They fly them in. Wings of Eagles is another ministry. All they do is fly the Jews home. As a matter of fact, they're going to have to expand the border. There's just so many of them that the land won't hold them all. But they're coming home. They're coming home. One of the greatest things I can share with you this morning is that Barbara and I went to the land of Israel. The Lord spoke to me and he said, "You're home." I love America. My blood's red, white, and blue. You touch her, I touch you. Pastor Don, that's no way for a preacher to talk. I know. You'll just have to forgive me. But I'm prior military. I took a vow that no one, foreign or domestic, will hurt this nation. My vow carries with me to the day I die and they plant me in my grave. By the way, is there any ex-military here? Hallelujah. Any firefighters, any police force, anybody? Yeah, listen, wave at me. Come on, wave. I want to honor you. I want to honor you. Just wave at me. This is what we call half mask, guys. Give me a full mask. Get your hands up. Come on. Come on. Father, I thank you for these men. And I thank you for, listen, if you, you see a man in uniform, I don't care if he's a fireman, policeman, military, whatever he is, she is, get to her and say thank you for your service to our country. Listen, they put themselves in, yeah, come on, you give the Lord a praise. They put themselves in harm's way so that you and I can sleep at night. Somebody's always got to pay the price. That's just the way it is. So you who lifted your hands for your service to our nation, God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So we've got Ezekiel. We've got 36, 37. We've got all these other places. 34 of Ezekiel. Chapter 20. And 20, 34, 20, 41. We got Jeremiah 32, 37, 29, 14. Isaiah comes in the picture. Isaiah 43, 5. Isaiah 54, 7. They all say, though I have scattered you to the nations in a set time, I'm going to bring you home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what else is going on, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. Back in, right after, watch the pattern. Right after 1967, all of a sudden, right about 68, after the Jews got Jerusalem back, something prophetic was released in the spirit realm. All of a sudden, we got Jews who are filled with the Spirit of God, and they're saying, we want our ministries back. What the church has done with them, I was guilty of it too. You know, a Jewish man would come in with his prayer shawl or he'd come in with his shofar. Many churches would say, look, we don't do that around here. Listen, we're the Gentile church now and we're in charge. Yeah, right. Yeah, you're in charge, all right. That's the problem. That's the problem. We're in charge, not Jesus. Not Jewish Jesus in charge, we are. And so what the Jews, they started to come in by thousands. They started to get born again. They started to get filled with the Spirit of God. And all of a sudden, in 1968, right here in our own state of Maryland, down by Gaithersburg, Rockville, the first Messianic ministry was raised up. When I say Messianic, I'm talking about a bunch of Spirit-filled Jews that love Jesus. I always said this, you want to get a radical saved? You get yourself a Catholic born again filled with the Spirit. My wife's previous Catholic. Love the Catholic people. Not trying to beat them up. You want to get a radical loose, you get a Jew saved. Get him filled with the Spirit, him or her, and turn her loose and watch what happens. Yeah. Yeah, amen. So the rise of these Spirit-filled ministries began to rise in 1968. Never in all of history. Do you understand that that never happened in history before? We're being set up for the Messiah to return. Israel's a nation. Jerusalem's back in the hands of the Jews. Jewish ministries are being raised up everywhere. Everywhere. Now they've even become international. When we were in Africa, the last place we were at, brother, it was awesome. They really honored us. This husband and wife ministry team, he was in the military and he was stationed in Israel and he learned Hebrew. Well, he had such a heart for the Jewish people that near Cape Town, this synagogue, big synagogue, beautiful place, just like this place is gorgeous, by the way. I love these windows and things. And the Spirit of God is just awesome. And I love this place. I love you guys. Are you getting it? And so anyhow, the Jews just up and said, you know what, we're going back to Israel. You can have the building. He got the building. Big Stars of David carved out on the walls. Tapestry still left there. They said, we're out of here. We're going home. We're going back to the land. They did. So this brother, who was a non-Jew, took over the ministry. And they're raising up a ministry a lot like what you're hearing from me. What we call Hebraic Foundation Ministries are being raised up today. Some of them call them Jewish Roots, but I got checked on that by the Spirit of God. The Lord says, if you're going to call yourself anything, you need to call yourself Hebraic, because we're new, okay? Only been about 15 years. Hebrew goes all the way back to Abraham. Jew only goes to Esther 2:5. So even with the Jewish people, if you want to be known by them, Don, you need to go clean back to Abraham. They understand Abraham. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we touched on this one 2 days in a row. We might as well touch on it the third day, brother. We keep hitting this one. I said, Lord, it's another one of those end time things. And it's found in Daniel 12:4. Seal up the book, O Daniel, till times of the end. For in that day knowledge shall increase. Many shall run to and fro in the earth. We're the computer generation. Many of us older timers. I remember when there were none. All you younger folk, you've got these things, and they keep changing them crazy cell phones. They talk to you. I got just a simple one. It's over there. It's just basic. That's all I got. Oh my goodness, I don't want to get there. But the computers come on the scene. You can push a button, any subject you want, boom, bang, pow, here it comes. You can download it, print it out. You understand that we're that generation that the Lord told Daniel, seal the book up, Daniel, till the times of the end, because there's a generation that knowledge is going to be released in the earth like no other generation. Now, what's awesome about this is that the knowledge that's being released is in the natural and in the spirit realm. There's things we're unearthing. There's things that we're discovering today that we did not know. One of the things back in 1992 that was discovered, this thing is called the one new man. It's called grafted in. It's the symbol of the menorah and the Christian feast. They come up and the base comes down, the tail comes up, and the two become one. It's a Star of David, beloved. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The Lord's shaking everything that can be shaken. I have more good news. The temple is ready to be rebuilt. No other generation has it ever been ready like it is. People have talked about it ever since I've come to the Lord about 40 years ago. I hear a lot of talk about the temple, and we call ourselves Judeo-Christian. We don't really know what that means, but that's what we are. We're Judeo-Christian. But the temple has been prefabbed off-site. All they need is the spot, and they'll come in and put that thing up. It could be put up in a few months, and the temple will be established in Israel. And anyone who knows anything about Scripture, over in 2 Thessalonians, it says the Antichrist is going to go into the temple, he's going to defile it, and he's going to turn on the Jews. Well, you're going to have one for him to do that. They're getting ready to build one. Are you getting what I'm saying? The stage is being set for the return of Messiah. Wow. This is really great. Do you know, over just recently, about a year or so ago, millions of snails washed up on the shores of Israel. We've been there. The Mediterranean Sea is right there. Barbara and I, we stayed in our first night in a big hotel in Israel, and the sea was out there. In the morning we woke up, it was crashing against it. Just the wind blowing, just carrying on. Well, supernaturally, over a million some snails washed up on the shore of Israel. Say, blessed be to God, Pastor Don. What in the world does snails have to do with Bible prophecy? I'm glad you ask. The high priest's garments could only be made from the dye found in these blue snails. They got a special name. I didn't write that one down for you. All I know is supernaturally, they got washed up on the shore. They would have to go gather. Remember Lydia, the seller of purple? That was a royal color. That was gotten. The reason why it was so expensive, these snails are only about the size of your little fingernail. So when you crush one, you got this little spot. You imagine how many snails you got to crush to get the dye out of them to do the high priest garment? Well, they got the high priest garment. They got the snails. The snails showed up supernaturally. They ain't never washed up on the shore before. They're down there gathering them up in buckets and shovels and everything else. And then they come up with somebody who knew how to get the dye and to transform it so it could be made into garments. So today, there's a place called the Temple Institute. The menorah for the temple, the lampstand, it's built. The priestly garments they have been completed. As a matter of fact, they're training Levites right now how to do sacrifice back in the temple. It will start up again. It will start up again, and that's when the Antichrist is going to come in there and try to shut things down. So it's got to start. How else is that going to happen? Let me give you another nugget. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Pastor Don is switching off to the other mic. Sound man, please.
Thank you, brother. I guess my time with it was up, brother. So it's almost for my sermon, too. But this is awesome. This is just another thing. Turn to Deuteronomy 33. I'm getting ready to wrap things up. Go to Deuteronomy. It's Moses' prophecy over the 12 tribes. This is awesome. It's just awesome. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Come on, somebody help me love the Lord a little bit. Hallelujah. I'm trying to find 33. I got it here somewhere. It didn't change. I'm just trying to find it. Woo-wee. Hallelujah. Yeah. 33. Moses is speaking. Now, one of the things that he talks about is there in 33, the prophecy concerning Asher. And wait till you hear this. This is awesome. The prophecy to Asher was this in 33, Deuteronomy 33, 24. And of Asher, he said, let Asher be blessed with children, and let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. If you get a map, original map of where the territories were, where the 12 tribes were located, you find that Asher was right out near the Mediterranean Sea. It looks like a boot. I've seen it. Right off the toe of it, in 2005, Israel discovered the world's third largest natural gas deposit. Now, the Bible prophecy, Moses gave that some 4,000 years ago or longer. It just happened in 2005. He said a time will come when the toe of Asher or the foot of Asher will dip in oil. Well, you know what the geologists say about this natural gas? Natural gas comes off of oil, people. It's where it comes from. There's an oil deposit somewhere. Yeah. The geologists are now saying in the area over there, by the year 2020, Israel quite possibly could become a world leader in oil supply. Did you ever ask yourself this question, Bible scholars? Why would a nation like China, why would a nation like Russia want to come down from the north and take this little piece of territory? Yeah, they hate the Jews, but is that enough? I don't believe it's enough. I believe it'll be over oil. I believe Israel's going to come in, and I'll tell you what I believe. I cannot prove this, but I've been saying this for years. I believe Israel setting on the mother load. I believe Iraq, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Iran, all of them, Jordan, all the rest of them. There's this big reservoir down in the ground, and all they got is a trickle going off to them. And when Israel starts sucking it out of the ground, they're going to pull it from them. And they ain't going to have it no more. And we ain't going to have to bow to them no more. Wow. How's that? Thank you, honey. All right, 33. Now watch this one. Look what 13, let's see, 13, 14. No. Let me get myself together here. 18. 33, 18, and 19. This is another prophecy. Watch what it says. In verse 18 of 33, and of Zebulun he said, rejoice, Zebulun, for in thy going out, and Issachar in your tents. Look what it says. And they shall call the people unto the mountains, and there they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness, for they shall suck of the abundance of the seas, and they will have of the treasures hidden in the sands of the land. Ooh, sounds like it's being set up to me. Woo, woo, woo. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jews have a saying. They tried to kill us. We won. Let's eat. So you might as well get used to all this Jewish stuff, as some people call it, because it's not going to go away. It's not going to go away. The word says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the bride. The Lord is trying to encourage us today. He's trying to let us know that his coming is at hand. These Jewish feasts, these Lord's feasts, as they're called, all these things are being set up. Many churches are beginning to teach on them. There's revelation that's been hidden from us. We started tapping into it, the shofar, the prayer shawl, all these things. We began to discover that there's a richness. And it's all about the return of Jesus. And I've got a question for you. If you died today, are you 100% sure? If you stood before the Lord and he asked you this question, why should I let you into my kingdom? What would you say to him? There's no such thing as a hope-so salvation. There's no such thing as a maybe salvation. There is a salvation so great from our Messiah Jesus that this is what he says. He says that there's a witness of the Spirit in my spirit that I am a child of God. I'm not going to be born again. I am. Are you sold out on the fact that you are truly a child of God here this morning? I feel led to talk like this to you. The other thing is, maybe you're here this morning and you're just not where you ought to be. You know what? He's the God of a second chance, third chance, fourth chance, whatever you need. Praise God. Hallelujah. But ready or not, Jesus is coming. Pastor, I'm going to turn it back to you, and whatever you want to do to finish out the service, pray for people, whatever, I'm going to turn it back to you. God bless you all. It's been good sharing with you. We give God praise and glory. Amen. Pastor, won't you come?
Praise the Lord. One of the, he didn't quite ask this question, but I'll go ahead and I'll ask it this way. Are you Jewish? Okay, do you know why you're Jewish? Are you Hebraic? Are you a Hebrew? Do you know why you're a Hebrew? Friday night, he shared definitions. Hebrew literally means one who has crossed over out of death into life.
That's right.
If you're born again in the Hebrew language, they would say you're a Hebrew because you have crossed over.
That's right. They would recognize.
Not because of your genetic lineage,
spiritual
lineage, you have crossed over. Paul said not everyone who says he's a Jew is a Jew.
That's right.
He says it's not the outward circumcision, it's the circumcision of the heart that makes all the difference. So if we've crossed over, you're a Hebrew. I like that. I like that. Okay, now I ask you, are you Jewish? Now you two can't answer this, and even Debbie, I'm not going to let her answer. Do you know what Jew means? To be a Jew. The word Jew means one who praises God. So if you raise your hand, if you praise God, you're a Jew. Now do you understand why there's such an anti-Semitic, anti-Hebrew, anti-Jew attitude in the world? One, they don't like people that have crossed over, been born again. They don't like people who know their God, because the scripture says those who know their God will do exploits. Because once you know God, you start doing exploits. Once you do exploits, men can no longer dominate you. When Jesus is your Lord, you are free from the world system. And the world wants to dominate you and subjugate you and control you. So if you have crossed over, they've lost their power. They've lost their authority over you.
That's right.
That's why they don't like Jews. They've lost their authority over them.
That's right.
Jews, I mean, I some of my best friends literally were Jewish in college. And I didn't know they were Jewish. I remember one day my roommates were complaining about the Jews on our floor, and I went down to Howie Bernberg's room. He's accepted Christ now. He's born again, Catholic. And I sat down in the room and I said, Howie, I can't take it anymore. He says, what's going on? I said, my roommates are complaining about the Jews on the floor. And I told him what they were saying about the Jews on the floor. And he was quiet. And I said, Howie, I've got a question. Who's the Jews? I don't even know who they're talking about. He says, Gordon, my name is Howard Bernberg. I said, and? He said, Gordon, I'm the Jew. I said, you're Jewish? I mean, to be quite honest, to me, all Jews sound like they're from New York. They have the same accent. Because it's a spiritual thing. But they cannot dominate a Jew, so they hate the Jews because the Jews have crossed over and their God is the one true God. Now, if we praise God, that's the other reason why they don't like Jews. They praise God, the God. They know who God is. And in this day and age, and you know this as well as I do, Christianity is under attack for two reasons. We've crossed over. And we praise God rather than men. And we look to God as our source rather than men.
That's right.
And when you cross over and you start praising the one true God, they don't like you. Notice how all the news media, they talk about, and the politicians, Christians are mean-spirited people.
Yeah.
You're the problem, cause of all the problems in the world. Well, what about the Muslims? They're actually killing homosexuals.
Yeah.
How about the Muslims? They're actually defiling women. I talk to the Muslims. They're doing all these things. Oh, well, that's over. We need to be accepting of their culture. Well, why can't you accept our culture?
Really?
Because Muslims are still of the world. The world does not have problems with other people in the world. Anything goes. But Christians, we have values. Jews, they have values. We have the law. Paul said, now, you know, we interpret the law and we say the law is bad because it's legalistic, because you can't be saved by the law.
Right.
But Paul said the law is holy. But the law cannot make you holy, but the law is still holy. That's how you ought to live. We're not talking about all the, to me anyway, you may correct me later, but we're not talking about the 613 commandments. We're not talking about you can only go so far on the Sabbath day. Those were man, but the Ten Commandments, the commandments of God. And it's interesting, even in Deuteronomy, those who obey the voice of their God.
Yeah.
It's the voice of God, to know who God is and what He is saying to us. Not the precepts that have been written by men, but those who obey the voice or the commandments of God. Because see, God speaks to you commandments. He speaks things that are just between you and Him that He asks you to do. Well, that becomes a commandment of God. And if you will hearken to that and obey that, you will be blessed, because God is preparing you for what is about to come. And he's preparing the church for what is about to come. And the first step of preparation is you must be born again.
Yes.
You must cross over. You must praise the Lord.
Yes.
You just, Pastor Don knows this as well as I do. When we began to praise the Lord in church, people got upset. As long as we talk about Him, as long as we talk around God, you're okay. But if you start doing the Word, because if you read Psalms, to praise the Lord is not a suggestion. It is a commandment of God to praise the Lord. And boy, you start telling some people, you need to praise God. I'm not going to praise Him. That's the word in church. It's a spirit of rebellion. Spirit of resentment. Because you refuse to praise the God who you know. If I would tell a good husband, praise your wife. Tell me something good about her. He ought to have a list. I ought to be able to go to sleep while he's giving me the list of all the good things about his wife. Same thing of wives about husbands. You ought to have a list of all the things you're grateful for. But when it comes, and that's praising them. But when we say praise the Lord, most Christians. Let me think about. Can I get back to you on that? You know, because God, we are not intimate enough with God to be able to praise Him. And one of the words for praise in the Old Testament, when it says praise the Lord, is to literally, it's only used one time, I believe, but it literally means to make up new praise that you've never used before.
Thank
you. You know, people that cuss on the street, they love to come up with new cuss words, don't they? I mean, they like to invent words. I mean, they're creative about how they can cuss. They practice cursing. So when they get around people, they can amaze them with all their curse words and their new curse words and their new language and stuff like that. We ought to do that with praises to God. To come up daily with creative ways to praise God. Lord, I never thought about this. Lord, I thank you for this. Lord, I praise you for that. I never thought about that. That's never entered my mind. But to come up with new creative ways to magnify God. You say, well, I don't know if I can do that. Have you crossed over?
Come on.
Are you Jewish? Do you praise the Lord? Then you can do this. See, this when he said that, my heart just leaped on the inside, man. As I've always said, my older brother's a Jew, but now I find out I am Hebrew. Because I have crossed over. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's stand up. Did you appreciate this today? Well, there are so many things. I know Pastor Don, he just touched the edge of this because I subscribe to Biblical Archaeological Society magazine, Review, and I've been that part of that since school. I think I started about 5 years after they started the publication. And it's extremely liberal, but they don't know what they're talking about. But there's a lot of nuggets in it. Like just the other day, because, you know, the kingdom of David really didn't exist. That's all been made up. And they couldn't have kept records because in the kingdom of David, they didn't know how to write. Hebrew hadn't been written. They just found the other day in Jerusalem. Now, this is scholarly talk. In Jerusalem, in the last 12 to 16 months, they have found the oldest inscription of Hebrew they have ever found in a place where they said has been so cleaned out that there's no trace of Jews or David or Solomon or anybody. They found this ostracon with writing on it. And this is the amazing thing about it. It doesn't mention David, but it's a marker for wine. And it said there's two things that shows. Well, three things, actually. One, there was a distribution system because they created the wine. They marked the jar, which meant they were sending it someplace else, and they marked it to identify it. So they had this was going out all over Israel, okay? They marked the wine. Which is, well, what's the big deal about that? He said somebody in the place had to know how to write in order to inscribe the jar. So it means they knew how to write more than the priest. The common person knew how to write Hebrew. Plus, here's the third meaning out of it. Wherever they sent it, the people had to be able to understand what was written to do with it what they needed to do. So now they have archaeologically, that's a big word, but they have proven that Israel not only existed in 1000 B.C. in the time of David, they had a distribution system, which means you had a centralized government producing this stuff, shipping it out, and they were all literate. From one little piece of pottery with some Hebrew words written on it, or Hebrew letters written on it, they figured all that out. Well, I could just read the Bible. But they don't believe the Bible. They'll believe the rocks will cry out.
Yeah.
The rocks will cry out. And they're crying out right now. And it's confirming Bible all the time. They just don't know it. Because the Bible's not an authority for them. Aren't you glad that you have the news? There's a program on this. You can have the news before the news.
Yeah, I like that.
You can read the Bible and know what's about to come. And they're just finding it out. Wow, did you know? Did you? Yeah, we knew.
Yeah, in
Ezekiel 83... when it talks about invading, that war in Ezekiel 38 is to plunder Israel.
Yep.
They're not coming to destroy the Jews,
right,
like in Psalm 83. They're coming to plunder Israel in the final war. Why would it surprise us that they wouldn't find oil or gas or gems or major minerals that are needed for it? Why would it surprise us? Why do you come to plunder a country that's poor, that has no resources? So the Bible has already told us in advance,
that's right,
of the glories of Israel,
yeah,
because the nations of the world are going to come to plunder Israel. That means they don't have, but Israel got it. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we give you the praise. We give you the glory. We give you the honor, Father, because, Lord, you already know what's about to happen, and you are preparing us as a people of God that we have crossed over, that we are willing to give you praise and publicly acknowledge you, God, that we are your people, God, that we have been grafted in by our faith into the covenant of Abraham. And you said through Christ, we have an even better covenant than Abraham did. Jesus said he looked forward to the day and saw it. But Lord, we're in that day. We live in the day that Abraham only saw by vision. And we thank you, Father, that this is your hour and your time. In Jesus' name we pray. To God. Glory, glory, glory to his holy name. There is no other name among men given by which we can be saved. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bless you.